Please be seated. We welcome you to our worship service this morning. We pray that God's word would be a comfort and a blessing. A couple of words on our worship service, our opening hymn. Everything will be in our maroon-colored hymnal, Lutheran service book. Our opening hymn is number 801, How Great Thou Art. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow the order of service on page 278 and following. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are provided for you. And once again, we pray that the power of God's Word would be a comfort and a blessing. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word, to be comforted not only by family and friends, but most importantly, by the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. We thank you for all the blessings that you showered down upon Marian during her earthly life, especially for calling her to faith in you. And now we ask you to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord and creator of the universe, the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life for wayward sheep like us and calls us home. Heavenly Father, be with us, bless us, guide us, and may the things that we do and say be to your honor and to your glory. All these things, Lord, we pray in the powerful and precious name of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Hymn 801.
worship is found on page 278 in the front part of your hymnal. Page 278. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In holy baptism, Marian was covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?
We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His."
We turn to our bulletin insert. There we find Psalm 23. We will speak it together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We continue with the Kyrie, page 278. "Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us."
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for Your loving kindness shown to Marian and to all Your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Isaiah chapter 40. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, 'In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.' A voice says, 'Cry.' And I said, 'What shall I cry?' All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of the good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. We continue with the Alleluia verse on page 279. Alleluia, Alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead.
To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father,
and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want, is found on page 710 of your hymnal. Please be seated.
Members of Good Shepherd Congregation, family and friends that have gathered here to pay their last respects this morning, special family and friends, and especially to you, Charlie and Shelley, grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation, the Old Testament reading that we heard just a moment ago from Isaiah 40, those first 11 verses, but especially verse 11. He, God, will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs into His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Dear friends in Christ, tomorrow would have been Marion's 90th birthday. Ever since her birthday last year, her favorite saying was, "Well, I'll never be 88 again." Was a little bit of a worry with the family what was going to happen tomorrow because, Mom, you're having another birthday. Are we going to keep that same saying or have a new one? Well, the Lord took care of that. The Lord took care of that. Almost 90 years, 1927. Think for a moment. All the things that have happened and transpired during those 90 years. 1927, the vast majority of people rode their horse and buggy to church. The thought of a television or a microwave oven, a pipe dream. Oh, there were cars and tractors, but only for the very, very affluent. Can you imagine Marion gathering around the radio with the family, listening to the favorite old-time radio shows, or maybe even the fireside chats of the president? A lot of changes in 90 years. Time marches on. I'll never be 88 again. We can't go backwards in time. Time can be a great friend. And sometimes, time can be a bitter, bitter enemy. When we have the blessing of living to a, by human standards, ripe old age, we also have the curses that go along with living to a ripe old age. My mom always says, well, you know, there's not going to be anybody at my funeral because I outlived them all. She turns 96 today. When we get a little bit older, we sometimes experience the frailties of our body or our mind or both. Time marches on. Time doesn't stand still. And as we reflect on time today and the changes that we see throughout time, God's Word, which is timeless, God's Word today in Isaiah 40 speaks to us about what happens over the course of time. In Isaiah 39, God is not happy. The children of Israel had sinned, and sinned a great sin. They had followed false gods. They had allowed themselves to be corrupted by the things of the world. They had quit listening to the Word of God, and in so doing, had fallen into all kinds of terrible, wicked, grievous sins. And God said, because I love you, I'm going to speak the law, some harsh law. Because I love you, your enemies are going to come in and carry you off to captivity. Because I love you, and I want you to see your sin, and I want you to repent of your sin, I'm going to allow this to happen. That's chapter 39 of Isaiah. Hard words. Brutal words. But the accumulation of sin over time, days and weeks and months and years and decades and centuries, God said, enough's enough. And then abruptly, in Isaiah 40, God, through the prophet Isaiah, says, comfort. Comfort my people. Comfort? How in the world can there be comfort in the midst of everything that you've just said? Comfort? Where did this come from? In fact, some scholars think, well, this must be a different book or a different author or a different God to have such a great change from the end of chapter 39 to the beginning of chapter 40. But it's the same God, the God who speaks the law, also speaks comfort, the gospel. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended. Quit fighting. Quit fighting with yourself. Quit fighting with your sin. Quit fighting with others. Your warfare is ended. God is ending it. That her iniquity, it's a fancy name for sin, is pardoned, forgiven. Imagine the prisoner who is on death row, who is guilty, guilty as sin, and getting ready to walk to the gallows or the gas chamber or whatever method this particular state uses, and all of a sudden the phone call comes from the governor. The pardon is in. You don't deserve it, you haven't earned it, but it is real. And you are free. This is the comfort that God gives. This is the comfort that God brings. And the amazing thing is how He is going to bring it out. Tell her that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, when we think about getting double for our sins, we think about getting double punishment. Because that's what we deserve. In the book of Isaiah, this word picture, this symbol of the hand of God is a prominent theme. And the hand of God is a God of power, it's a God of might, it's a hand of punishment. Think of those, you know, Marion loved animals. Think of somebody that has a dog. And you want to reach out and pet the dog. Or you want to reach out and give a little treat to the dog. And if the dog doesn't know you and they see that hand coming, what does the dog do? The dog ducks. Because the dog knows what that hand normally does. It's a hand of correction. It's a hand of punishment. The strong, mighty, powerful hand of God is going to give double for all of our sins. How? The strong and mighty and powerful arm of God. The punishing hand of God punishes not you, not me, no sinner that truly deserves it. The good news of the gospel is that God reaches out His powerful punishing hand to His own dear Son. The great exchange, Luther calls it. Our sin for Christ's righteousness. Christ's death for our life. The Lord has laid on not straying wayward sheep like us, but on Jesus the punishment and the chastisement that we have deserved. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together. Flesh, that's another name for mortal human beings. Isaiah goes on and says, your mortality is real. You see it in the change of the seasons of the year. All flesh is grass. All its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely people are grass. Since that fateful day in the garden when Adam and Eve broke God's word and brought sin and all of its terrible consequences crashing into this world, death is real. You can ignore it, you can pretend it'll never happen to you, but guess what? We have an object lesson right here in church to remind us that death is real and mortality is real for each one of us. What are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do about it. Why doesn't God do something about it? He has. And He continues to. God goes on, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will stand forever. The Word of our God will stand forever. The Word of the Lord, the Word of God, which shows us our sin, but swallows up that law because it shows us even more clearly our Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. Throughout this whole chapter, the first 10 verses, we're reminded of everything that happens over our life. However long our lifespan is, whether it's 90 plus or whether it's just a few, our days are full of sin. Our sin has earned for us the wrath of God and the punishment of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And then, verse 11, He, God, will tend His flock like a shepherd. That strong, mighty, powerful, punishing arm of God, look what He does with it. He will gather the lambs in His arms and carry them in His bosom. That's the picture in our stained glass window right over there. Jesus, who says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. We heard it in Psalm 23. We sang it in our sermon hymn. The Good Shepherd is not some generic divine being. The Good Shepherd has a name. His name is Jesus. He took on flesh and blood. He laid down His life and 3 days later picked it up again. Never to die again. And Jesus promises that whoever clings to His death and resurrection shares in everything that He has, including His victory over sin, death, and the grave. Today we come into God's house, and it would be easy to fall into the trap of only thinking about the good memories, the wonderful pictures that stir up those thoughts in our minds, the stories, and that be the only thing that we think about today. In the other ditch, to come into God's house and to realize that, well, Marion's gone. One day that'll be me. And to be filled with a hopelessness or despair. My friends, we're mortal. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the victory that here at Good Shepherd, we had the opportunity to share with Willard and Marion together as a couple. And then when God called Bill home, Marion here at church, then in the home, and then in the legacy, and then in Colorado, and now here today to say goodbye to a precious lamb. A lamb who knew and heartily acknowledged that she was a sinner, but a sinner redeemed by the blood of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Bill and Marion, they love this church. Well, Bill never really got to see the new church, but they love this place. Why? Because the Word of God was proclaimed here. They loved it when we would come for visits. Myself, Pastor Burnt, one of the vicars. Why? Because it didn't really matter who brought the Word of God. The Word of God was what gave strength and comfort and hope and peace and joy. In these last 3 years, things were a little bit different. Our relationship could not be the same because of the distance, but pastors in Colorado continued to bring that same word, that same sacrament. It was an opportunity for mother and daughter to kind of reconnect after all the years of being separated, either in Texas or in Colorado, to watch the TV game shows. And I know she was always madly in love with Bill, but it sounds like she had kind of a secret crush on Steve Harvey with Family Feud. And she knew she was a sinner and probably coveted B. Arthur's haircut a little more than she should have. And while she probably knew she shouldn't, those little Mounds candy bars tasted so good. A lot of great memories. A lot of great memories here at the church, too. A faithful member of our Friday volunteer group who come together on Friday mornings for a devotion and some coffee and some fellowship and also some work to fold the bulletins for the upcoming Sunday. Marion would never fold the bulletins, though. She would only fold the news and notes. Why? I don't know. That's just all she wanted to do. That's kind of how Marion was. She got something in her head, and then it stuck. She was so thankful whenever someone would come by for a visit. Oh, she enjoyed the company. But our visits had a different reason and a different purpose. They were to bring God's Word and to bring God's gifts to a precious lamb and to remind her that no matter what happened and how much time she had, God's love for her was real. As real as the death and resurrection of Jesus. I never heard her say it, but Shelley tells me that through these last few years, she had kind of a saying that she would like to repeat again and again and again. God bless America and all the ships at sea. And I recognized it when Shelley told me about it. And because we live in a different time now than 1927, I was able to go to the internet and do a Google search, and I was pretty sure that it was Walter Winchell, but I wasn't 100% sure. Walter Winchell was kind of like the great radio personality before Paul Harvey. Newspaper columnist, radio personality, even got into TV. Toward the end of his life. His career spanned from the early 20s until the early 60s. More famous than probably any other human being, aside from Charles Lindbergh, during his lifetime. 50 million people a day read his newspaper column. And on the radio, he would often say, "Good morning, America. God bless America. From sea to shining sea, from the east to the west, and all the ships at sea." Through the course of time, Marion kind of morphed that statement into her own personal motto. God bless America and all the ships at sea. Well, recently, she added something to that. God bless America and all the ships at sea. Lord, come get me. Now, I can imagine how a daughter must have felt first time she heard that. That was Marian's way of saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go to the mansion prepared for me since the beginning of time. I'm ready to see my husband again. I'm just tired. I'm worn out from all this time that you have given me. And you know, it is exactly the same thing, only in Marian's special way, but it's exactly the same thing that we pray every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. When we say, deliver us from evil, we pray, Lord, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to be with you. I know where I'm going. Thank you for all the blessings you've given me. In your perfect time, take me home. My friends, it was God's perfect time to call Marian, one of His precious lambs, home. His perfect time. And now, as we gather here, we can only imagine what she's seeing now. That Revelation passage gives us that word picture of a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Go look at the wedding pictures out there. Go look at those family pictures. Look at the sparkle and the twinkle in her eye. Imagine what they're seeing now. All of the things that wear us down over time, they're gone. No more pain, no more suffering. No more tears. The old order of things has passed away and the new has come. Imagine what they're seeing now. The Good Shepherd, Jesus. The Lamb who was slain but now lives and reigns forever and ever. And all the saints gathered around the throne of God, singing Amen and praise and glory and power and might be to God forever and ever. Amen. My friends, we live in a sin-filled world. None of us knows how much time exactly we have. Don't worry, don't fret. Cling to the One who created time and who in time sent His Son to give us life, true life, forgiveness, and life to the full. Enjoy the memories. Cling on to them forever. But most importantly, cling to the Word of God, which endures forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our time in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Prayers of the Church. They are found on page 280. Page 280. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with Him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of Your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with Him at Your heavenly banquet. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give to the family of Marian and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in Your loving care, that, casting all their sorrow on You, they may know the consolation of Your love. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of Your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our thanks for Marian and for all the blessings You bestowed upon her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see You face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God of all grace, You sent Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give You thanks that by His death He destroyed the power of death, and by His resurrection He opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because He lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from Your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting His promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die.
Lord, now You let Your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which You have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal You to the nations and the glory of Your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Shepherd, You gather the lambs of Your flock into the arms of Your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give to you peace. Amen. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our closing hymn this day will be number 461. Before we sing, I would like to make a brief announcement. After the committal at Lincoln Memorial, the family invites you to join them for a luncheon in our fellowship hall. Our closing hymn. Yes. Okay. Yeah. With the heat that we are expecting out there, if you need to stay, go ahead and eat right away, and you can wait for the family, or if you need to get back to work or whatever. That is perfectly acceptable. Let's have a word of prayer for the meal. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise You for all the blessings, all the gifts that You gave to Marian throughout her earthly life. We beg You, O Lord, that You would grant to us Your comfort this day. We thank You for the meal that we are to receive. We thank You for those who prepared it. May our time of fellowship and remembering be all to Your glory and to the comfort of one another. In Your holy, Your precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 461. 461.